Get going then if we've got a call. All right, so it is time, let's see, at 12:05 mm-hmm. on California time. Mm-hmm. At 12:05, it's time for the Utah Virtual Academy Governing Board of Directors board meeting. And let's see, we will get started with our call to order. So on the phone here, Kara, if you wouldn't mind reading off who we have.
Yeah, you have board members Brian Maxwell, Kristen Davidson, and Dallin Drescher. Amberly Keeler has asked to be excused, and Marty might be joining you later, but he's not currently present. Others present include Cole Arnold, Kara Finley, Kim Dorr, Brad Taylor, Debbie Dempsey, and Tiffany Allen.
Great. Thank you, Kara. And we will get right to business here. Starting with the June 9th, 2021 board meeting and closed session minutes. Could I get a motion on that?
To accept the minutes?
Yep.
So moved.
Motion made by Kristen. I'll second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Great, that motion passes. Let's see here. And then next we have budget. So I believe we're adopting our budget now. What was that, your?
Yeah, can you guys hear me okay?
Yep, just great.
Okay, so I provided in the board packet basically the same information that we had last time, but I added a couple columns to it. I left the next year's budget that we already approved just as information for the board. What you'll notice is that the last two columns on there, the second to the right column is a forecast. That's kind of where we anticipate ending the year. You'll see with a surplus of roughly $650,000. There's still a lot of moving parts to close out the end of the year. We've got accrued payroll. We've got kind of final billings with K-12 that we're working through, as well as we've got summer school still operating. And so while we feel, Megan and I have met several times, we've gone over that forecast, we feel pretty comfortable with the numbers that are there. But we also know that sometimes we get surprised with last minute bills or invoices or things that have ordered that we were expecting to come in later that come in sooner that we have to account for. And so the amended budget that we're asking the board approve, which is at the far right hand in green, that just kind of gives us about a 3-4% buffer for any of those unanticipated items that may hit, so that we're still in compliance with the state, so that we don't end up being over our approved budgeted expenditures. So while that amended budget is showing about a $58,000 surplus, again, we feel pretty confident in that forecast and feel like we'll be much closer to that $650,000 number for the end of the year. Are there any questions from board members on the budget or any of the specific line items or the assumptions that were made to kind of put that together?
And Cole, I think you're on your phone so you can't see, but those last two columns, I believe, have the wrong year end date. Those should both be 6/30/2021, not 2020, just to clear up any confusion.
Yes. Thanks, Brad.
And then again, this is the same thing I say to every board. I've said it, 10 times this year in different board meetings. With the forecast and the amended budget, remember state law does not allow you to go $1 over budget. You can be $1 billion under budget and be fine, but $1 over and you are in violation of state law and it becomes an audit finding. So whenever we do the amended budget, and I know this was discussed last year, we always want to err on the side of having too many expenses in there, because as Cole says, if any invoices come in last minute or if there were any purchases for next year that somehow get billed into this year and the invoice date and the auditors decide they need to be booked in prior to 6/30, we want to make sure we have sufficient coverage so it then doesn't trigger an audit finding. But it's kind of, as Cole said, the forecast is where you're more likely to end up, but the amended budget gives you some wiggle room. And the state would like you to be within 5%, which is why, I always said, let's just do a budget of $1 billion of income, $1 billion of expenses and be done. But it's not very good for helping Megan and for the board to know how close they were to getting there. But they do, they would like you to be within 5%. And with a $25 million budget, I mean, you have a lot of wiggle room there. That's over $1 million. So that's it.
I have one question. The property line, then you go down on the left-hand side there. There's zero zeros, but then there's one that shows $10,800. Just tell me why zeros and how that works.
So that $10,000 is kind of a line item that we put in there for Megan, just in case she needs to buy something technology-wise, something breaks, so she's got to replace it, kind of for some of those unplanned items. So the reason it's zero is because we didn't have any of those for this year, but we always put that in there kind of in our new budgets, just again, so she's got that if she needs it.
And the use of the term property is referring to any single item that is over your capitalization threshold, which is normally, $1,500. Some schools have $5,000 and a useful life of more than 3 years. So not that Megan would be out there buying pieces of ground, but a large piece of technology. In the past, it's been servers and expensive staff computers. With the way technology's gone and more Chromebooks and things like that, it's just less it ends up in that property line item. And a lot of those technology workbooks and Chromebooks really end up following under supplies and materials because they're less than 1500 bucks and their useful life is really about 3 years. So they don't qualify for capitalization.
Thank you.
Typically the most common thing we see in there is copy machines anymore.
So this is allowing Megan to go office space on her copy machine if she wants to, I guess.
Pretty much. There's some days where that seems very attractive. So
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions on budget?
I move that we accept the budget.
Okay.
I'll second.
Motion to accept the budget as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
That motion passes unanimously. And then let's see, we have another item here. Sorry, I just went off my agenda screen here. So we've got an insurance renewal to take care of.
Yeah, and I can speak to that with Megan being excused today. The insurance premium, or the insurance policy rather, for the school renews every year on July 1st. This year they were a little delayed in getting that to us. We just got the quote last week. The insurance premium did go up by about 8% for the new year, but all coverage lines and limits and things are the same as they have been in the past.
But there, I kind of scanned through that. It looked to me like that the policy actually included some other things that strengthened the policy. I'm hoping that's how I read that.
Yeah, they've got some extra things in there. There's some automobile coverage that you don't normally see, but because there's so many staff members that are traveling around the state to perform different services for the kids, that's something that's added in there. They've got cyber liability coverage in there and some other protection. So yeah, you did read that correctly.
And I thought that those are actually good additions.
Well, good deal. Any other thoughts on the insurance renewal?
I move Hearing that we all. Accept the new policy.
Great. Krista moves to accept the new policy. I second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Sorry, I didn't hear you, Dallin.
Sorry, aye. Well, I support. I voted on the first one.
Okay, good deal. All right. And then last here on the agenda, we have Power School, is that what it was? Yeah, Power School invoice.
Yeah, so Power School is a student information system platform that the school uses. The system kind of integrates with the K-12 platform that tracks attendance and the other student records. And it's kind of used to track those Utah state-specific items, and then they actually import that data up to the state at the required intervals for to maintain compliance.
Good deal. Okay.
So I have a question for Debbie on that one. Is it an effective system? Does it have glitches?
No, PowerSchool is fantastic. In fact, that's what we have to have our data system speak to the state accounting. So we really do have to have it. Yeah. Thank you, Kristen, for asking.
Yeah, I've heard good reports of PowerSchool since we've had it. Made lives of administrators a lot easier. All right. It looks like we could take a motion to approve the PowerSchool invoice. I'll make the motion.
Second.
I'll second.
Second by Dallin. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That motion is unanimous. For calendar items, we have July 14th for our board meeting. Beyond that, I don't believe we have anything else on the agenda. I will take a motion to adjourn.
I'll move to adjourn.
Dallin moves to adourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And we are adjourned at 12:16 p.m. Utah time here on June 30th. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you. We're so efficient.